We are pilgrims passing through this world, and we're going home one day to glory. And in this Bible reading we had today in Hebrews 10, we see the fight of faith. We see the great afflictions and troubles that many of God's people go through. And the world has not changed. There are many struggles for God's people. And maybe you today have come to a crossroads and you are fighting the battle of your life for your own walk and for your own strength and for your own testimony. Thank you for joining with us here on the program today. We're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel from Hebrews chapter 10 on the fight of faith. Those Hebrew believers in the first century were going through a terrible, difficult time. Persecution, opposition, hatred against the church of the Lord Jesus. And there was this argument, come back, get back into Judaism again. Christianity will only destroy you. And of course, for the Christian, there's always the pressure to go back. There's always the lure to give up this pilgrimage to heaven and go backward. And that's the theme in our message today. And we have at the close a little message on faith. What is it to trust the Lord Jesus? The Whitfield Choir will sing, Here I Am, Lord. But we begin with Romans 4 and on this question, how was the righteousness of the Lord Jesus made over to Abram's account? The short and simple answer is by faith. We're told here in Romans 4:3 that Abram believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now the basis of his faith was the word of God. God spoke to him and Abram obeyed and acted upon that promise of God. The object of his faith was the Lord Jesus Christ, promised in the Son that would be born to Abraham and Sarah, the Son of promise who would precede the Messiah. And in the Gospel of John, we're told that Abram rejoiced to see Christ's day. There was a given to Abram a revelation that God would send his Son, the Messiah, the Savior. And Abraham believed that message of Christ. I want to read to you Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. And so there you have it. The gospel preached to Abraham. He was saved the same way that we are, by the same message of the cross, the same cleansing power of the blood. And he was brought into the family of God by living personal faith in the Lord. I trust you'll learn that today as we minister the Word of God. Now for our hymn, Here I Am, Lord, Send Me. As we come to this passage in Hebrews 10, you are aware, of course, of Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, where the worthies of the gospel stand forth as triumphant, all by faith. Perhaps this will give you the reason why I wanted to sing that hymn of being a pilgrim, the one that was written by John Bunyan. And we're all pilgrims. We are pilgrims passing through this world, and we're going home one day to glory. And in this Bible reading we had today in Hebrews 10, we see the fight of faith. We see the great afflictions and troubles that many of God's people go through. And the world has not changed. There are many struggles for God's people. And maybe you today have come to a crossroads and you are fighting the battle of your life for your own walk and for your own strength and for your own testimony. And we need the help of God's Word. And we need to seek the Lord's Word for us that we might be made strong in the Lord. Now, this message of the gospel and this Christian message, of course, it is ever in danger of being corrupted. And this is the issue that we're getting into in this passage. The whole background of why Paul ever wrote a letter to Hebrews was because Jewish converts, namely Hebrews, were being drawn back to old Judaism. And there was even this subtle thing, you can be a Christian, but don't give up Judaism. You can profess faith in Jesus, but don't give up the Levitical laws and all of those things. And there was a very subtle attack to lure people away from the out-and-out Christian church who had separated themselves by this time from Judaism. And you can read of that in Acts 19, where Paul the Apostle had to withdraw from the synagogue and make a clear stand for Christianity. And so from then on, there was this subtle movement to make Christians go back. Now, there's always that lure to you and me to go back to our roots, back to the old ways, back to those things that we once did and give up the very pilgrim life as a Christian. Well, to that temptation, there are really only two schools. If you look at verse 38, there are those who draw back. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, and that's one option, draw back. The other option is verse 39, where it talks about those that believe to the saving of the soul. So in reality, it's not an option at all. To go back is to lose your soul. It's to deny the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. And indeed, in the time in which this was written, prior to AD 70, when the temple was still standing in Jerusalem and there were still animal sacrifices being made with the shedding of the blood of animals. Now, if you've ever read the book of Hebrews and studied it, you'll see that's a big issue. And Paul points out that the blood of animals, the blood of bulls and calves and sheep, they can never take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus. So this was a big issue, to go back to animal sacrifices, to worshiping God by the way of Judaism, was to get your eyes and heart off the Lord Jesus. Now, let me clarify a point. This is not contrary to the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that once you're saved, you're always saved. This is not contrary to that doctrine, because once you become a Christian, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have eternal life. But the devil's chief card is confusion. And when he brings in confusion, even those that are really walking with God, they can be warped. And you know what it's like when you get a wheel with a warp in it? It's no longer any use. And all the steel's in it, and all the rubber's in it, and all the air may be in the tire, but if that wheel is warped, it is no longer of any use. And if those who are professing Christians get an idea, a notion, and are under pressure to accept and follow some wrong doctrine, it can warp them, and thereby they may be in great danger. Now, this is Paul's introductory message. These verses in chapter 10 is Paul's introductory message to the great worthies in Hebrews 11, those men who all worked by faith. Now, in this passage, we're going to look at three things: the right description of faith, the right description of faith. Because when you get into Hebrews 11 and you have all these men saying, by faith, by faith, by faith, well, we need to have that described to us. What did that really mean? Then we have the right goal of faith, which is very obvious, the saving of our soul. That's the goal of faith. And then there is the right fight of faith. If you've got this faith and it's fixed in Christ, and your goal is to save your soul, then it's worth fighting for. And you'll have in this passage here how these Hebrews endured a great fight of afflictions. And we need to look at that area of the right fight. Sometimes Christians choose the wrong fight. We get all upset about the wrong things, and they end up just like the warped wheel. We need the fight of faith, which we need to look at here today. So begin with the right description of faith. Let's look here at chapter 10, verse 38. And here is a statement which you'll be familiar with, but you'll notice where Paul puts it, in the context in which he puts it. Now, the just, or the righteous, or the godly, shall live by faith. This is a quotation from the book of Habakkuk, and it now is introduced in the gospel, in the New Testament, and it's the premise on which we live our lives. The just shall live by faith. We no longer live by sight. We live by faith. And we believe certain things. We take them at God's word, and this is now the basis on which we live out as a pilgrim. It's why we say goodbye to the world. And I'm thinking now of Pilgrim's Progress and Christian when he left the city of destruction on that journey to the celestial city. And he even at first said goodbye to his wife and children. They would not join him. What an affliction that was. It was a lonely walk. He fell into the slough of despond. And he had this burden upon his back that he had to get rid of. And he went to the cross where that burden rolled away. And what a wonderful day it is when God awakens you that you've been living in a city of destruction and you need to go to the cross. And when you go to the cross, the burden is rolled away. And then as you go on in the pilgrim life, you meet opposition. You meet Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Worldly Wise Man, Apollyon, and all his thrusts of evil against you. And then you go into Giant Despair's, his territory. And there are those battles of the pilgrim as you go on with God. And so the premise of the Christian's life is we live by faith. Now, in chapter 11, 1, you have the word substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance, you may have a margin, and it may say assurance, as in my margin, but it really is the foundation. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. And here we see that this is now the grounds on which we believe. Now, it's not mere imagination. Some people say it's like Christianity is a leap into the dark, and we close our eyes and we just hope for the best. That would not be godly, biblical, saving faith. It is not by our own imagination, but there is this substance, this foundation that God has given us, and that foundation is our faith. Nor is it our reason. Now, this is evident from the fact that it says here in verse 1 of chapter 11, I want you to look at that, chapter 11, verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't do what the scientist does, and he goes into the laboratory and he goes through his examination and he wants to see a repeatable, observable experiment. And he can testify, I have seen this. If you do this and this and this, it's always the result. And you call that a scientific method. Now, the basis on which we live is not on things we have personally observed. None of us have ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ in the body. None of us saw the incarnation where Jesus was formed in Mary's womb. But we believe that doctrine. None of us were there when Jesus died upon the cross. None of us were at the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead. And yet we could not be Christians if we did not believe that doctrine. And so there are any number of things that we believe, and they are not our imagination. They are not by observable experiment. But you'll notice in verse 3 of Hebrews 11 that they are by revelation. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what is the basis of faith? On what basis do we understand? By the Word of God. The Word of God. And so my faith has substance to it because I have in my hand, and by faith now I have it in my heart too, the Word of God. The foundation, the right description of faith is not that I just imagine something, that's jumping into the dark, nor is it that I personally observed it, but that God says it in His Word, this written Word of God. That's why to us the Bible is so important. None of us saw the world created in 6 days, not even Adam. Adam was not there in the creation of the first 5 days. He was created on the sixth day at some point. Everything else was in place before Adam was created and placed into this world. And so even he would have to accept the things that he was looking around. There was trees and animals and all of these things. And you would say, what age is that tree? And someone might say, well, that tree's 500 years old. It would take 500 years to grow that tall and strong. But what age was it? Maybe 2 days. 2 days old. It had an observable age. But the truth was that God created it by the power of His Word. Even Adam needed that faith. He didn't see it happen. And you and I have not seen the creation of the world. We have not seen these great things that we believe as Christians, but we believe them because God has said it in His Word, and this now is the very description of our faith. Now, we could go on to talk about what scientists and evolutionists and what humanists do. And they say, well, and basically they accept that this world, that matter has an eternal existence. Matter really was always there. And then they say that it became organized by some manner, and they can never tell you what the manner was. This evolutionary process, just matter started to formulate, and a soup became certain molecules, and molecules became plants and animals, and now we have humans and so on. And these people generally are pantheists. They worship the earth because that's their God. And when you believe that matter is eternal, that there was never anything prior to matter, then you make it your God. And you end up worshiping that very thing. But faith lays claim to a totally different conclusion. This world was not always here. This world did not evolve over millions of years. This world was created by God in 6 days. That's the very description of our faith, and that's what we believe. Now, there are, as in therefore, a very great gulf between the worldview of the secular evolutionist, pantheist, than the Christian. And those who are at school, and you're going to be hearing at school, perhaps this world was, you know, the product of millions of years of chance, random processes. All of that is totally contrary to faith. And you say to me, but how can you believe this? Well, it agrees with what I observe, because there's design in the world. There's design in the world. And amongst scientists and academics, there is a great growing understanding of design. Now, many will refuse to go the next step and say, well, who's the designer? And they see that the human body, the genome, the blueprint of the human body, it is so fantastically designed that it could never just be the product of random choice. And so we see here that this right description of faith is the Word of God. And that's why we call you to steep yourself in this book. Maybe you're not a Christian today. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you say, well, I just can't take that leap in the dark. I'm not asking you to. But I am asking you to take God at His Word. Because in this Word are the statements, the truths, the history that will enable you to believe God, and to now live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We do not live by the next report from the lab, the science lab, or the archaeologist. They just found in Chile the largest earth monster ever unearthed, 40 meters long. I think it is 17 meters high, 70 tons in weight. Huge, huge animal. Now, that fits right into the whole creation account. Evolutionists have all kinds of problems with it. And there is no contradiction between the corroborating evidence of the world with this statement, God created the world. Let's go to it now. Let's look at it again. It says here in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means God created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created matter. He created this world in which we live, and He created you and me. We live by faith. So that is the right description of faith. And this was the hope of all these we read of in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house and their souls. By faith, Enoch walked with God. They took God at His word. And this is the only way to live the Christian life. It's the description of our faith. The just shall live by faith. And this is the confidence we have.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And as our message was all about faith today, I want to just share with you this little word on a tremendous illustration on what faith is. Some people have difficulty in explaining faith, understanding how it works. And it's okay to say, believe. It's okay to say, I'm a believer. But what exactly does it mean to put your faith in the Lord? Your condition is like that of a lad in a burning house who escaped to the edge of the window and hung on to the windowsill. The flames were pouring out of the window. The lad would soon be burned, or falling would be dashed to pieces. He therefore held on with a death-like clutch. A strong man below said, "Boy, drop, I'll catch you." Now it was no saving faith for the boy to believe that the man below was strong. He might have known that and perished. It was saving faith when the boy let go and dropped down into the big man's arms. You are a sinner, clinging to your own sins or to your good works. The Saviour pleads, "Drop, drop into my arms." It is not working that will save you. It is trusting in that work which Jesus has already done. Trust, and the moment you trust, you are saved. I hope that little illustration by Mr. Spurgeon will be a word in season for you. Perhaps you have no doubt that the Lord is mighty, that he is the Son of God, and therefore can do miracles. But has he ever saved you? And the answer is, you've got to place your soul in his hands. You've got to let go of everything else that you're clinging to and believe the gospel by trusting in the Lord to save you. So let go. Stop trusting your works. Stop trusting yourself. Stop trusting in religion. And trust in the mighty saving power of the Lord Jesus. And just fall on your knees and pray, "Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Make me a Christian. Save my soul." There is the picture of a trusting in the Lord Jesus. I trust today you will come. I plead with you to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus. And if I can be of personal help, be in touch. Now stay tuned for these closing announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.